And please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And this morning I want to focus our attention on Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 32. So Acts 20 and beginning in verse 17. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together. Our Father, give us your Spirit now, we pray, through Jesus Christ, to have a right understanding of your word and cause us in him to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 20 and beginning in verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." This is the word of God. This morning we are going to ordain and install a new elder here at Providence, and that occasion gives us an opportunity to consider what Scripture teaches us about the work of the elders. The text that we read this morning defines for us very clearly what is the work of the elders. You'll notice that Paul is addressing the elders of the church of Ephesus in verse 17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Paul summoned the elders of the church of Ephesus to meet with him in Miletus. Paul was passing through Miletus on his way to Jerusalem, but before he went to Jerusalem, he wanted to meet with the elders of the church of Ephesus one last time. Paul wanted to remind them of their responsibility and urge them to be faithful in their ministry. Paul had spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus planting that church. He's the one who laid the foundation of that church, and the elders of that church were now building on the foundation that he laid. They continued the work that Paul began. And so Paul begins his address to the elders of the church of Ephesus here by reminding them of his own work in Ephesus because it serves as a model for theirs. He wants them to follow his example. Their ministry as shepherds of God's flock should be patterned after his. And so Paul says to them in verse 18, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds them. He reminds them of something they already knew and knew quite well. He reminds them of his own sacrificial ministry and labor among them. Paul recounts his own work because it serves as a model for them, for the elders. He wants them to follow his example. They should devote themselves wholeheartedly to the service of the church just as Paul had done when he was in Ephesus. So Paul, we might say, set the pace for them. Paul set the pace for the elders. He established a pattern of ministry for them. And Paul goes on to tell them that he's on his way to Jerusalem, where he will be arrested and imprisoned, and that they will never see his face again. Verse 25, "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." And so the elders of the church of Ephesus know that these are Paul's last words to them, and that he is giving them, as it were, their marching orders. Paul had left them in charge of the church of Ephesus, and now they know that he's never coming back. So this is his final address, his farewell address to them. And Paul gives them here a solemn final charge that sets forth their responsibility as elders of the church. And it's this charge that defines for us very clearly what the work of the elders is. Paul's charge is recorded in verse 28, and that's the key verse that I want to highlight this morning, Acts 20, verse 28. "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Now, there are five things that we should note from this verse regarding the work of the elders. First of all, the elders of the church must pay careful attention to themselves. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves. The first thing the elders must do is to keep watch over themselves. They must pay careful attention to their own lives, lest they set a bad example for the flock. The elders cannot adequately care for others if they neglect their own spiritual care. They can't nurture the saints if their own souls are malnourished. The elders set the pace for the spiritual growth and maturity of the flock. So if they neglect the care and culture of their own souls, what will happen to the church of God? The spiritual health of the elders is a prerequisite for their service to others. So they must pay careful attention to themselves before paying careful attention to others. They are only as useful to the church as they are devoted to Christ. As go the shepherds, so go the sheep. And so above all, the elders must be faithful and diligent in their own walk with God. They must set a good example of piety and godliness and faithfulness for the flock to follow. Just as Paul had set a good example for these elders, they must set a good example for the sheep under their care. The sheep will follow their lead. As go the shepherds, so go the sheep. So number one, Paul charges them to pay careful attention to themselves, lest they unsay with their lives what they say with their lips, lest their own example contradict their doctrine. Moral or spiritual failure or neglectfulness or inattentiveness on the part of the elders will injure the flock. And so Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves. Each elder individually must examine himself, but they must also pay careful attention to one another. One of the reasons there was a plurality of elders in the church of Ephesus and other New Testament churches was mutual accountability. The elders were supposed to keep watch over each other and guard each other from error or delinquency in doctrine and life. And so Paul tells the elders not simply as individuals, but he tells the elders as a body of elders to keep watch over yourselves, pay careful attention to yourselves. Now, that's the first point that we should note from this verse regarding the work of the elders. The second point is this. The elders must pay careful attention to all the flock. Again, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. The elders of the church are to give careful attention and attendance to the spiritual care and culture, not only of their own souls, but to all the flock, those in their care. And notice that Paul uses the word all here in verse 28. The elders are responsible for the whole church and for every single member of the church, without exception. They must give careful attention and attendance to every member of God's flock. No member is to be excluded or neglected from the elders' care. The church is God's church. God is our shepherd, and he has entrusted his flock to the care of the elders as under-shepherds. The Lord Jesus Christ described himself as the good shepherd and believers as his sheep, and Peter refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. The elders then function as under-shepherds under the authority and oversight of the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd. They serve the church in the name of Christ and are accountable to Christ, the chief shepherd. Paul charges the elders to pay careful attention to the spiritual condition and nurture and oversight of the whole flock, including every individual sheep under their care. The shepherds, of course, cannot do that unless they are with the sheep. They must be with them. They must know them. They must visit them and encourage them, admonish them, guide them, lead them, etc. They must pay careful attention to all the flock and keep watch over the sheep because they're responsible for the spiritual health and well-being of the whole church. And so Paul charges the elders, pay careful attention to all the flock. Now, that's the second point we note from this verse, Acts 20, 28, regarding the work of the elders. The third point is this. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes the elders of the church overseers. Now look at the verse again, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So those who hold the office of elder in the church do so not by their own initiative or appointment, but by the calling and appointment of the Holy Spirit of God. The elders of the church are chosen by vote of the people, but that vote is not based on popularity, but on the spiritual gifts and qualifications for office stipulated by God in the Word of God. The vote of the congregation constitutes a spiritual call. It is the outward confirmation of the inward call of the Holy Spirit. And while the elders are chosen by vote of the congregation, they do not receive their office from the congregation, but from Christ himself, who appoints them to serve as elders, and he does so by the agency of his Holy Spirit. And the elders, therefore, are ultimately accountable not to the church. They are ultimately accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the chief shepherd. And they will give an account of their work to him on the day of judgment. As the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as overseers of the church, appointed by God through the Holy Spirit, the elders of the church must keep watch over the souls of those in their charge, and they will give an account of their work to the one who appointed them. The Holy Spirit, says Paul, has made them overseers. Now, the Greek word translated overseers here in verse 28 is probably better translated guardians. The elders are spiritual guardians. Their work is to guard the sheep, to guard the flock. And from verses 29 and following, we learn that they must guard the sheep from fierce wolves. Look at verse 29. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, the threat is not only from without, but from within. From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, Paul says, verse 31, be alert, be on guard. You are guardians. Be alert, be watchful, be on guard. He calls them to be alert, to be vigilant, while guarding the sheep because of the constant danger of false teachers. If the shepherds are asleep and not keeping watch over the flock, then the sheep are in danger of being deceived and led astray in doctrine and are in life by false teachers. The survival of the sheep is entrusted to the elders. The survival of the sheep is entrusted to the elders. Now that's a weighty responsibility. That is a weighty responsibility that the elders must not take lightly. The flock is constantly in danger of being exposed to false teaching. To use Paul's words, twisted things in verse 30, in contrast to the straight and true teaching of the gospel. The elders are guardians of the flock, appointed by the Spirit to protect the sheep from spiritual danger, but the elders are also guardians of the truth. They are guardians of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they must prevent that gospel from being twisted, from being distorted, perverted. They must give careful attention and attendance to what the congregation is being taught in the pulpit, in our classrooms, in our Bible studies, etc. And the elders do that not only locally but regionally when the presbytery, which is the regional group of elders, examines men for the ministry of the gospel. The presbytery must not entrust the ministry of the Word of God to men who are unqualified to teach it. The presbytery also must hold its ministers accountable for what they are teaching God's sheep. Now, that's one of the reasons in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church we have doctrinal standards. We have confessional standards. And all ministers and ruling elders in their ordination vows are required to, quote, sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and catechisms of the church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures. Our confession and catechisms set forth the pattern of sound doctrine from the Scriptures, and that doctrine is the straight, the true teaching of God's Word, and it must not be twisted, distorted, or perverted. And so the doctrine of the Word of God is entrusted to the guardianship of the elders. The elders are to guard the flock of God from false teaching and to guard the truth of God from perversion. Now that's the third point that we note from this verse regarding the work of the elders, Acts 20, verse 28. And the fourth point is this. The elders are to care for the church of God. Look at verse 28 again. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or guardians to care for the church of God. Well, care for is probably not the best translation here. I think shepherd is better, to shepherd the church of God. The elders are to shepherd the church of God. That's their work. That's their responsibility. You'll also notice that the church is called the church of God. It's not our church. It belongs to God. It's His. I will build my church, Christ said. It's entrusted to the oversight of the elders. But that's a stewardship. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to God. It's not the elders' church. It's God's church. And God orders the elders to shepherd His church. They're supposed to look after the church of God as shepherds look after sheep. And they must perform all the duties that are entailed in shepherding. They tend the sheep, feed the sheep, nurture the sheep, protect them, guide them, retrieve them when they have gone astray. They restore them when they are wayward. That's part of their work. Now, that's the sole purpose of being an elder, to shepherd the church of God. That's the sole purpose of the work of an elder, to shepherd the church of God. They must care for the people of God as shepherds care for their flock. That's the central concern. It's the primary work of the elders. It's the only work of the elders. The work of the elders is to shepherd God's church. Now, that's the fourth thing we note from this verse regarding the work of the elders. Number five, and finally, the last point is simply this. The church, which is entrusted to the care of the elders, the church, says Paul, was purchased with God's own blood. Now, verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, notice this, which he obtained or purchased with his own blood. The blood with which God purchased the church for himself as his own possession is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, his eternal and only begotten Son. Now, the reason that Paul stresses that point here in his charge to the elders is to emphasize the sacredness of their work. The sacredness of their work. The work of the elders is altogether sacred because the price that God paid for the church entrusted to their care is of infinite value. God purchased the church with the priceless and precious blood of his own Son. And that's how much he values his flock, that he's entrusted to the care of the elders. So the elders of the church of Ephesus and our elders will persevere in their work of caring for and shepherding God's sheep if and only if they remember how valuable a price God paid for them. The sacredness of their work is proportional to the infinite value that God paid for his sheep. Now, that's how much God loves his people, entrusted to our care. And if the elders remember that, they will not neglect their responsibility to shepherd the flock of God. That's why Paul reminds them of it here. God procured the church as his treasure, as his peculiar possession, his treasured possession, and he did so at the highest price imaginable. And he therefore expects his shepherds to guard it, to care for it, to shepherd it with the utmost care.